We get emails, I mean, I guess I get them all the time. Sometimes they print them off and give them to me. And they're from all over the world, different countries. This guy here is from, I have no idea. It says, my name is Bill Bean and I am a deliverance minister. Whatever that is. I travel all over America performing deliverance for those in need. I'd like to speak with Pastor Castle about a TV show I recently did for the Travel Channel. A clip can be seen at something, 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 bunch of stuff. I was the minister involved in the deliverance of the family, property, and home. The show decided to cut my segment and replace it with a message saying that a large and powerful witch was brought in to help the family, and the activity has subsided. I don't know about that. I wanted Pastor Castle to know about this, as I am a large and powerful man of God. I am a large and powerful man of God. Wonder if that means big. Not an evil witch like the show led people to believe. This is yet another example of how Christians are being persecuted. Could you please ask Pastor Castle to call me to further... I think that's a deacon's job, don't you, Brother Mike? I'll be passing this on to his wife so she can call this powerful man. I don't want none of them witches around. We got enough around here already, ain't we? Amen? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. 443, seriously, we need to pray about that. I have no idea who this guy is. There's a website and a half, www.billbeanministry.com, billbean.net. I'll be in Charlotte August 14th to perform a deliverance for a young man that was adopted from Haiti. And a lot of people in Haiti have them kind of problems. I'd like to visit your church and possibly meet with Pastor Castle. The deacons will take care of that. Thank you and God bless. I'm just kidding. Here's another one. Andy, thank you for getting back to me. I love Pastor Danny and the truth he boldly preaches. I feel, oh my goodness, I honestly feel so unworthy to speak to him. Lol. To me, he is like a modern day Apostle Paul. Lol. I don't idolize him, but I certainly put him in the market of reaching my pastor, and I pray to get some level, reach his level. There are not a handful of men like Infernal Hermit Christ. Charles Lawson is a great mentor. And this is from some guy in Hominy, Oklahoma. I have no idea where Hominy, Oklahoma is, but I appreciate that. Well, amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke tonight. I want to do a little study on prayer. Prayer. Every Christian needs to learn how to pray. And every Christian needs to pray. And the disciples... In Luke chapter 18, I think I'm looking for, and I'll look at a verse, and then we're going to look back at maybe 12 or 13 long in there somewhere. 11. Let's look at Luke 11 first. Luke chapter number 11 first. And then we'll look at a verse in chapter 18. All right, Luke chapter 11, and it came to pass, this is verse 1, that he was praying. The Lord was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now look at that. They were evidently observing the Lord Jesus Christ as he was praying. Man, I don't know about you, but that would have been something that would be an amazing thing to see. I'd rather see that than Niagara Falls, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see the Lord Jesus praying? Wouldn't that be something to actually observe the Lord Himself as He prayed? Think about that tonight. Notice that He said this. He did not say, Lord, the disciples never came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. There's two reasons for that. Number one, a man can't teach you how to preach. You can take all the courses you want to about preaching and you ain't gonna learn how to preach. Lord, I've known some guys who had all kinds of courses. I've had them tell me. They said, how do you learn how to preach? And I said, well, you know, you learn how to preach because that God calls you to preach, and then you just take it from there. No man can teach you how to preach. It doesn't matter how much seminary education you have. Preaching is something that is divine. It comes from the Lord. So a person can't teach a man how to preach. So they came to the Lord and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. If a man learns how to pray, he'll know how to preach. Matter of fact, if you learn how to pray, the preach will be inside you. It'll come out. It might come out sideways, but it will come out. So the Lord said, after this manner pray you, and he gives an illustration. Now turn over to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. And I'll show you another verse here tonight. And look at verse 1. I'm saying what I'm saying tonight to encourage all of y'all to pray and not to faint. Don't quit on your praying. If you're here tonight and you say, well, I've prayed and prayed about this and nothing's ever happened and it ain't never worked out. Look, don't you worry about it. You pray and you keep on praying. Verse 8, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never quit praying. Never ever give up. Don't ever, I don't care how bad it seems, how dark the sky is, don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Here's what he said. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. He didn't pay any attention to this woman for a while. She asked him, help me. I get out of here. Help me. I leave me alone. Help me. Woman, you bother me. You're getting on my nerves. Get away from me. For a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her, what? Continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now hold your finger there a minute. He said, here you got this unjust judge. He don't fear God. He don't care about people. He don't care about nothing. And he's sitting there. He couldn't care less if the world went to hell. He don't care about nobody or nothing. And this woman keeps on and on and on and on. And he said, I'm going to give her what she wants just to get her out of my hair. Just to get her to leave me alone. And the Lord said, do you hear what that guy said? Hear what the unjust judge saith? Now look at the next verse. He said, verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the answer is, yes, he sure will. He sure will. Now I'm going to talk about tonight what happens when we pray. And I talk about this a lot on Wednesday night, y'all, because I believe that prayer is the secret of living the Christian life. I believe that you living right depends on your prayer life. I believe if you don't have a personal time that you talk to the Lord and commune with Him, and you talk to Him and He talks to you, you will not live right, not very long. You may have somebody making you go to church. You may have somebody pushing you. But you have got to develop a personal relationship between you and the Lord. As a matter of fact, the most important thing in the Christian life is your personal relationship with the Lord. That's the most important thing here. Because everything else falls if that ain't right. Everything else falls. I've heard people say the most important thing in the Christian life is soul winning. And that I understand what they're saying. But that's not really right, because you ain't going to be no soul winner if you don't stay right. The most important thing in the world is you staying right with God. Then you become a soul winner. You become a good husband, a good daddy, a good mama, a good wife, a good worker. But you can't do none of that unless you stay right with God. I have developed over the years, and I've been trying to do this since I was 18 years old. I have been trying to live for the Lord, and I've failed many times. But I have learned over the years, it's my I believe I have scriptural ground to stand on when I say this. You have to develop a life that you spend time with the Lord every morning. I didn't say afternoon. I didn't say night. I said morning. You will not stay right with God long if you don't learn to spend time with God of the morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm so busy. I got kids to get up, get ready for school. I've got, well, get up a little earlier. You say, I can't get up. Go to bed a little bit earlier. Put the kids to bed. Get up. I'm telling you, I'm being your friend tonight. You say, well, I've got kids. I had kids too. They're all grown and married now. I know exactly what it's like to have to get up and get kids ready for school, give them breakfast, pack them a liver mush sandwich, and get them off to school. I know that. Corey and Krista, they love to take liver mush to school. And I know what that's like. I want to make sure they eat nutritional. But we went to revival the night before. And you need to eat stuff that's not good for you because your stomach will get too weak if you don't. And you have to develop some kind of immunity to bad stuff, because if you eat right all the time, if you ever do something wrong, it'll kill you. I'm just kidding with you. But anyway, us poor people can't afford to eat right. But I'm just kidding with you. But anyway, you got to develop a time with the Lord. So after they're gone, before they leave, before they get up. I know Carrie, she's got her hands full, buddy. And she's got three kids, and they ain't just three normal kids. They're all, something wrong with all three of them. And Diane's here tonight. I'm telling them kids is wired, ain't they? They are wired. I don't know where they got that. They did not get that from the castle site. I think they got half of it from me and half of it from Todd. That's a bad mixture right there. Well, I'm telling you, Kerrigan can kind of calm down sometime, but Dax and Aniston both, Lord have mercy. They wake up turning flips off the bed of the morning and go to sleep turning flips on the bed. And, when you got kids like that, you can't just say, all right, y'all go in there and be good. I'm going to study the Bible and pray. It don't work like that. And mine didn't either. Mine didn't either. And, buddy, you've got to fit in your time to get with God either before they get up or after they go to bed or after they're gone or sometime. I'm telling you, it's not an option. It's a necessity. It's not an option. This is not an option. You just say, well, I know people get backslid and get out of church because of their kids. I do. I know a lot of people said, well, we just can't come to church. We got all these kids and everything. You better not use your kids for an excuse not to go to church. I'd be scared to death to use my kids for an excuse not to come to church. Get them in there. That's not what I'm going to talk about tonight, but I'm going to talk about what happens when we pray. What happens when we pray? You've heard me preach, and one of the things I preach here at our church is what the Bible says about prayer and fasting. There are some things that don't happen without prayer and fasting. I had a preacher call from South Carolina, and I put a message on the radio that brother mentioned a while ago, and the preacher told me, he said, that's the first time I've ever heard a message on fasting. I thought, my soul, we got 10,000 preachers in this area, and he's never heard a sermon on fasting. You know what? What we're doing in this generation? We are feasting instead of fasting. We are playing instead of praying. We are growing in grease instead of growing in grace. And we're just concerned about the flesh and not about the spirit. It's work to pray. It's hard to pray. It's hard to fast. It is. But Lord, people, somebody has got to have some kind of a burden and say, I'm willing to put my flesh down just for a little while so that God might work in my life and in my family. You keep praying. You keep praying for your husband. You keep praying for your wife. You keep praying for that child, that teenager that's out of the will of God. You just keep on praying. God's not done. Now, I will say this, and you've heard me say this a bunch of times. People get confused about this. I had a man in this church. His wife left him, and he told me, he said, I want you to covenant with me that God will bring my wife home. And I said, brother, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to come with you. I said, but you got to understand, the Lord will not impose on somebody's free will. He won't do it. Free will is a gift God give us. And he will not, he said, I'm praying God will bring her home. And he named a date, such and such and such a date. I said, you can't do that. He said, why? I said, because you're talking about another person's free will. God will not snatch your wife up out of that sin and put her back on. Would you want her if he did it like that? No. You couldn't live with her. The Lord stuck me back in here. You wouldn't want that. Now God will deal with them and God will convict them and God will make them wish they had come home. But he will not make a person do nothing. So make sure you understand when we're praying. I mean, if that were true, we could just pick out lost people and say, Lord, save them. Lord, save them. I claim they're going to be, and they get saved. The Lord ain't going to save nobody against their will. But he does answer our prayers. He does answer our prayers. He'll make them want to get saved. He'll make them wish they was, had got saved. But God will not force an individual to do anything. He ain't going to make somebody do something. That's the man's free will to resist God. But that should not stop us from praying. Give an example. You've heard me tell it before. Many years ago, the night the Titanic went down, April 12th, something, 1912. April something, left. 14th, that's right. April 14th, 1912. Cold night, brother, when you're way up there in the North Atlantic Ocean. Cold. That water was 30-something degrees, you know, over at Gatlinburg, they got a Titanic, and they got what? They're always trying to get me to go to that thing, but it costs too much. And you can actually go in a replica of the Titanic. Y'all, anybody seen that thing over there? I'm telling you, man, it looks just like it. It's sticking up like this. It shows the iceberg and everything. Well, inside there, they got the water at the exact temperature that it was in the night the Titanic went down. And you put your finger in it or something? Is that what you do? You put your hands in that water. And they say, this is what it felt like the night them people went down. And I'm telling you, buddy, it was, Lord have mercy. I guess the only reason that water didn't freeze because it had salt in it. And it was 30-something degrees. 30, does anybody know? 35? 4? Well, I know it was in the low 30s. Well, anyway, there was a colonel on the Titanic the night it went down. And that thing started going down and did go down. Back home, I think it was in, let's see, I don't know where that lady was, somewhere in Pennsylvania somewhere. Anyway, a man, his wife, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have TV, nobody even knew that thing gone down till the next day. Well, when the reports started coming in. His wife had a strange burden to pray for her husband. And she got down on her knees and she started saying, God, help him. God, please, I don't know what's wrong, but Lord, please help. Most of the people wasn't worried. That Titanic was supposedly unsinkable. But God, maybe he's in trouble. Maybe he's sick. I don't know, but God, whatever. And she said she prayed and prayed. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, the burden lifted. She said, I can't explain it, just that burden lifted to pray for my husband. And she said later the next day, they found out in New York, they put a big old list on there, saved and lost. And had all the ones saved on. Her husband went down that night. And he went down with the ship. He had every intention of dying that night. He said he had helped women and children get on the lifeboats, and he had given up the thought of surviving. And he said, when that thing went down, it went down like that, and that water just sucked them people down. There's a lot of pulling power when those waters are going like that. And he said he went down in there, and he was screaming as he went down, I love you, darling. He wanted to say his last words to his wife. And he went down in them waters, and he was down in there going like that, and by instinct just started swimming. And he said, when he come up, he looked there, and there was an overturned lifeboat. And he grabbed a hold of it. and two or three more people grabbing hold of it. And it was in that cold water, hanging on to that thing. Can you imagine? I mean, they make movies of it, and you sit there and eat popcorn, it's warm and everything. It wasn't really like that, buddy. I never could watch that movie. That old Titanic movie about made me throw up. I saw part of it, and I went, God, that's a disgusting thing. These purple, big fat purple bodies just floating around everywhere. And I thought, good night. Yeah, that's sort of gross to look at. But anyway, he came up and he grabbed hold of that boat, and they said somebody come by and saved them. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning when the lifeboat picked him up out of that water and put him on safely. And he went back home and he said, honey, I'm telling you, and she said it was at 5 o'clock exactly when the burden lifted. Did you want to say something, brother?
Yeah, they said it was unsinkable, whereas they couldn't, God couldn't
even
sink it.
Yeah, that's a big mistake. They said God couldn't sink it. You shouldn't have said that, should they? I don't believe I'd have said that. Anyway, I tell you one thing. That's God answered that woman's prayers. Now, in a situation like that, pray. If you got somebody in trouble, you got somebody sick, if you got somebody in your family, listen, God said, you keep on praying, don't give up, don't give up, don't quit, don't quit, don't give up. I heard about in the Philippines many years ago, during the war, in World War II, the Japanese had, they were torturing our men as they were catching them. And they, you could hear them scream. They would take babies and throw them up in the air and catch them on their sword. They would torture the people. Not just kill people, torture people. And I mean, there's been some people went through some torture standing up for our country, the United States of America. That's why one reason why we ought to thank God for our country and our flag. You don't hear it much on the news anymore because they don't want us to be loyal to our country anymore, evidently. But we ought to thank God for the men that bled and died so we could have the right to come in here and have church tonight and preach and believe whatever we want to, and we're protected by our Constitution. They'd take them guy out, and they took this one man, and they said they had arrested him two or three times, and they said, the next time we get you, we're going to take you and kill you. And they said, this is a Christian man. They come to his house, knocked on the door. They grabbed this man and drug him out of the house, wife and kids screaming. And they took him off. They said, you'll never see him again. Took him down there to where the prisoners of war. And that night, the mama, she got down and she got all the kids around in the circle like this. Had a two-month-old baby and put him right in the middle of the circle. Got the kids around like that, and she began to pray. And she said, dear God, save him. Dear God, please don't. And prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And she kept praying. She said, I feel the burden. I got to pray. I feel the burden. I've got to pray. I feel the burden. I've got to pray. And they had them down there on like a firing squad, so if they didn't kill them with guns, they cut their heads off. And they had 10 men lined up down through there that was going to die that day. And he was the last one. And it went whack, whack, just cutting off heads. And as soon as they got to him, the last one, they said, the man in charge hollered out and said, stop! And he stopped and they said, get him out of here. Send him on back home. And that guy took off running with blood splattered all over him from them other guys. And they said, he'd come up the steps like that. And one of the kids said, Mama, I hear footsteps. That soldier's going to get us. She said, no, no, that's daddy's footsteps. I can tell that's your daddy's footsteps. And buddy, he came on the door and they hugged necks and had a shouting time. And that woman's prayers got a hold. Listen, people say, oh, it's just an accident or a coincidence. No, that was the Lord. I'd like to know what that old boy seen up here, wouldn't you? Maybe one day the Lord, when we get to heaven, you know, people say, you like to watch movies and stuff. When we get to heaven, the Lord's going to show us some stuff that is going to blow our minds.
I mean, the Lord's going to say, watch this. And he's going to show that woman down in there praying, and he's going to show them cutting off heads, and all of a sudden this guy right up here, and he sees it wrote up in the sky in letters 80 foot tall in his language, you better let that man go or I'll kill you tonight. And I don't know. Might be an angel standing there with a sword. No telling. There ain't no telling what we're going to see when we get to heaven because people prayed. You know why the devil fights you from praying? Because he knows. The old saying is, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. You got marriage trouble? You got physical trouble? I tell you, the best thing in the world to do, hit your knees and stay there and stay there and stay there and stay there and stay there. I'm preaching myself under a burden, buddy. I want to pray for Sunday. Don't y'all want to pray for Sunday? Wouldn't you like to see that spirit we had in here Sunday night spill in here Sunday morning, and the power of God fall when all the kids are here and all the people's here and the Holy Ghost move? He can do it if we'll all pray. Let's all agree to pray. Let's all agree to pray for Sunday morning. Ain't no telling what's liable to happen. Somebody said, we pray for patience. What does God send? Tribulation. Heard about the guy got down and he said, Lord, give me patience and hurry. See, if you pray, Bible said, tribulation worketh patience. You know the only way to get patience? Get beat up a bunch of times. I notice these young people. Where's Rat? Where's Rat? There she is, right there. She's wanting a car. And we've been trying to, Kelly's helping her and find her job and helping her get on her feet and stuff. And she said, I want a car. I said, well, you got a car. I want one with tinted windows. And I want one of that. That's typical. When you're 17, 18, 19. You probably want one paid for too, don't you? Oh, yeah. But you ever notice when you're young, you don't have no patience? You ever notice when you're young, you'll go to buy a car, and first one, I want it, sign the dotted line. Man, I don't ever buy a car like that no more. I'll look at it and walk off and look at it and walk off. So I'll call you tomorrow and fool around. You know why I've learned? I've learned the hard way. I've learned patience by trouble. Trouble. Tribulation worketh patience. God, give me patience. You know what you're really praying for? Give me some trouble, Lord. Because you're going to get it. But it'll make you patient. It'll make you patient. The reason young people don't have no patience, they have no trouble. You show me a guy over 40. Show me a guy over 40 that ain't had no trouble. They just ain't. There's no such thing. And the longer you go in life, more give. You pray for victory. You know what the Lord sends you when you pray for victory? Storms of temptation. And that is the victory. You pray for submission. You know what the Lord will send you if you pray for submission? Suffering. He learned obedience by suffering. You know when you pray for strength, you know what the Lord will send? A messenger of Satan to knock you down, the way he did Paul. You pray for the love of God. You know what God will send you? He'll send good people to treat you right, and people, mean people, treat you terrible, and so that you can learn the difference and grow in love. Now, you begin to grow as your prayers get answered. You're thinking clear. Your faith grows as we see God. I've told you this before. One time I was going through a bad time, and I've been through a bunch of bad times, but the Lord's been good to me. I ain't seen as much trouble as a lot of people. But I've seen my share in some areas. I've never had a lot of physical trouble, but boy, spiritual and emotional, spiritual battles, I have been through the ringer. I'm telling you what, I couldn't tell y'all the times that I felt like my head was in a bee's nest. That's the way it felt. And I was going on just by sheer grit. And everybody just falling on both sides of me. And I remember one time I was going through a really, really bad time. And there was a guy that I was praying for in Florida. And I said, God, get a hold of his heart. God, get a hold of his heart. God, get a hold of his heart, Lord. And I was getting somewhere. I could tell I was getting somewhere. And I was down the bed. I can show you the spot in my house where I was praying. And I was down there begging. I said, God, deal with his heart. God, get a hold of him. God, convict him. God. And I was praying, and my phone rang. And I hadn't heard from this guy in months. And I answered the phone, and it was him. I said, hello? And he said, hello? I said, man, you ain't going to believe this, but I was on my knees praying for you right now. And he said, I didn't even really mean to dial your number. I said, I know you didn't, but God put your fingers on the right button, buddy. You thought there's a wrong button, there's a right one. And I preached him a sermon, I ain't kidding you. He was nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. He couldn't hardly talk the time I got through. And you know what? There's no doubt in my mind that was God answering my prayers. There's no doubt. Y'all don't give up so easy. Don't give in so easy. Don't quit praying just because it don't happen the next day or two. Or the year or two. Or a month or two. Don't quit praying. Let me tell you, don't quit praying. Who's the great prayer warrior? George Mueller. George Mueller, who read the Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees, had several men that he prayed for 57 years. And one at a time, they started getting saved. And one or two of them didn't get saved until after he was dead and gone. But his prayers were not in vain. Your prayers are not in vain. I'm telling you tonight, people, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, Miss Dessie. She's got burdens. For some of her family, don't give up, Miss Shelley. Don't give up. Don't give up, Doc, for your kids. Don't give up, Junior, for y'all. Don't give up, y'all. Don't give up. Everybody in here has prayer requests. And I'm telling you, God's real and He loves you. He wants to help you. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. You say, well, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, Brother Danny. And that don't mean God's not working. That don't mean it ain't going to happen. You may be that close to giving up, and God might be getting ready to do it. Amen. Amen. That brother of yours, that sister of yours, don't give up. Glory of God, don't give up. Don't give up. If God can touch that lady's husband on the Titanic, He can touch your husband. He can touch your wife. He can. He won't override their free will, but He sure can and will and can get a hold of them. I got a couple things to read you right quick, and I'm going to be done. Illustration or two right quick. Don't give up. Just don't absolutely refuse to give up. Just refuse to give up. God will help you, and He'll answer your prayers. Now somebody said that prayer in our nation. Listen, what prayer done for America? People say, ain't no use praying for America. It's shot. Now, it probably is shot, but God can still do something for us. He can still send us revival. In 1620, prayer, people praying, guided the Mayflower with the pilgrims to this land. There's no doubt about it. Doesn't matter what the liberals say or the liberal news media who's trying to erase God out of our Christian heritage of our country. Prayer in 1623 saved the pilgrims' fathers from starving to death. Prayer in 1777 at Valley Forge saved the Continental Army and won the war for American independence. Our nation was built by people praying and living for God. Prayer at Philadelphia saved the Constitutional Convention and gave birth to the American way of life. Prayer in 1857 saved America from economic destruction. Prayer in 1918 ended World War I, and a lack of prayer started World War II. Prayer saved England at Dunkirk. Myriads of flyers and servicemen of all nations lost at sea were saved by people praying for them. Don't believe this crooked, devilish doctrine of separation of church and state. The only reason they say that is because they don't want Christians' influence in the government. There's no such thing as separation of church and state in the Constitution. It's nowhere to be found. That's a quote from one of the former politicians, and they've almost made people think it's in the Bible. There have always been Christian influence in our nation. Our nation's capital is covered with Scripture. Prayer and Bible is helped build this nation. And all these people who talk about separation of church and state want churches to be taxed. When they start saying, we don't want you to be taxed. Separate the church and state. We'll throw it back at them. Amen. But anyway, our God has saved our nation many times because people prayed. And I tell you what I want us to do tonight. I want Miss Dessie to come. I'm going to stop right there. I want her to come to the piano. And I want you, everyone, to bow your head, please. Just bow your head and close your eyes, please. And we're going to pray.